Hello, everybody. If you're coming in, welcome. Welcome, welcome. So you've been set to have your cameras off, but if you would like to put them on, it is joyful for me to see your faces. It's not recording you, it's only recording me as the host. So if you are able to show me your face, that's great. Thanks, everybody. That's lovely. This virtual world is extra strange when we just see names. So if you would like to use the chat, that's also a great way to connect and communicate. If you want to put in where you're from, I think we've got quite a across both sides of the pond for sure joining. Just letting some people in. Right. Okay, so if you are able to turn your camera on, brilliant. It's only recording me. Put in the chat where you're from. And this session today, I really wanted to offer because the solstice is next week, and the two solstices in the year are always really powerful times for me personally that I find the my ability to tap in, like there's lots of language that I can use around this, like the veil's being thinner, or some people might roll their eyes at, but really what I find this time of year does is it's a midpoint in the year, in December and in June, but also it's a time where I find that all those things in my subconscious that are kind of like I can kind of like it's like a taste at the tip of your tongue that you can't quite place. I find I get really clear about if there's something that I'm haven't been doing that I need, if there's something that I feel actually I've been really like not looking after my body, or actually I get really creative and I get an idea about something, or maybe there's somewhere that I want to visit and my physical body needs to go somewhere. I always find around the solstices I get insights that are much more strong and powerful. So I used to for years I held 3 day events over both of the solstices, and this year that's not possible. So I really wanted to put this masterclass together to help you wherever you've slid back a few steps, wherever you've started maybe to work on a project or a dream, or you've got a goal, whether that be with business or earning a certain amount of money, or whether it's been around relationship or health. Any area of your life where you have set yourself a dream or a vision, and then maybe found yourself going, oh, well, maybe that was too ambitious or too much, or who am I to do that? Or it's not realistic, right? What is that word, realistic? And so if you start to speak, maybe you've got, exactly which area of your life you want to dream bigger in. And maybe now's a good time to start thinking about that while everybody's coming into the space. I also know for me personally, I learn and digest and get a lot more out of, especially online sessions, when I take notes. So if you've got a notebook, you've got a pen, I encourage you to get them. Or you can maybe write yourself notes or put them into the chat. That's also welcome. Nice to see some familiar faces and some new ones. Great, Romania. Hi, Romania. Hey, UK. So, while you're all getting settled, for those of you who don't know too much about me, my name is Helen Miller. I'm based in the UK. I'm overlooking the sea now. I'm looking at the ocean. I have a flat overlooking the beach. And I grew up and spent the majority of my life right in the center of London, which I miss, but I'm half city dweller, half businesswoman, half entrepreneur, half creative, and half sea swimmer, nature lover, backpacker, camper, wilderness explorer, half grounded, half in the cosmos. My name begins with the letter H, which is a bridge. My company, Heart Healer, again, these bridges, helping people shift from where they are to where they want to be, balance the two worlds, balance the two hemispheres of the brain, right? The practical and the visionary. And so what I really want to help you to do today, it's a limited amount of time, but we have the solstice next week. We have this shift in energy. We don't need, I don't know, if you think about traditional education, where you think about something being three over 3 or 4 years, or a master's or a doctorate or a career, or we only really need a moment for a penny to drop, a moment for some rewiring neural plasticity in our brain to start to allow ourselves to think about who we are and what's possible for us in a different way. If you think about the phone ringing and getting an unexpected piece of news, whether that's we perceive that to be positive or negative, like it takes a split second for our life to change. And that same level of pivot we can have inside us at any moment. So this is being recorded, but it's only recording me. I would love it, especially in this like digital world, if you can have your cameras on and if you can lean into the chat, lean into supporting and listening to each other. To start with, I'd like you to share if you're open to, or you can direct message me in the chat if you prefer, where it is you want to be. And if that's a financial goal or a different goal, if you can explain maybe where you are and where you want to be. So I'm currently dating and I want to be married, or I currently earn X amount and I want to earn X amount, or I currently have a team of 3 people and I want a team of 10 people. Whatever your dream big goal is. Okay, that's no problem. Pajamas are very welcome on camera, but if you prefer to be in pajamas off camera, that's also welcome. Okay. Aileen, I'm not sure what that's about, but if you can email info@hearthealer.co.uk, I can make sure you get anything that you need to be sent. Okay. Great, that's a big one. If anyone else wants to share in the chat. Okay. And I'm offering, as I said in the description, great Philip. There's some opportunity for hot seating and coaching and the way that I work with people today. So, great. So, business goals, conscious service work. And also calling in a soulmate. So I'm going to offer, if somebody would like to, let's do an exercise with everybody first. So, for example, let's chunk it down to there are two aspects, right, to making changes. One is the external, like the action that we need to take. So it might be, I don't know, I want to work for Selfridges, okay, or Tony and Guy, or a brand, right? You want a job somewhere for a specific person. Like, well, the first step, one of the steps might be, well, I go for an interview. How do you get an interview? Will I apply for the job? I go to talks. There are many steps that you can do to actually begin the process of living the dream of working at a certain company. But the big piece prior to that is the mindset and the shift space. And the fundamental first pillar of being able to call more into our life, whether it's more love, more sex, more abundance, more health, is by getting really grateful for what we already have. And I know this from personal experience. I lived with such deep ingrained poverty consciousness from childhood. I didn't grow up with a huge amount of money. Everything's relative, right? And I was raised by parents who were very scared of money, and there wasn't a lot of gratitude in the environment that I grew up in. But I totally immersed myself in it and went far further and more deeply ingrained and tight and stingy and obsessed with how much things were, how much people earned, I was just against the world, and I was against the world with it, especially with anybody who had more money than me, because I wasn't taking any action to change my financial situation. I was working really, really hard, but doing jobs I hated. But I wasn't shifting what I was allowing in because I was looking at what I didn't have all the time. So I'm going to invite you, first of all. Yes, I will share as much as I can about how I shifted the mindset. There's quite a few things that I did. But first of all, can I see a show of hands if everybody would like to call in more money? Because we can use that as a collective example. Right? You can put up digital hands. So I will take that as a yes. Okay. So think about the. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes if I see some digital hands as well. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. And if you prefer not to close your eyes, to soften your gaze, to maybe stare at your knees so the visual consciousness is quietened down. And I want to invite you to feel into what it feels like to want more money. Not to have it, but the actual feeling of wanting it. And for me, and think about where you feel that sensation in the body. So when I think about wanting, I think about maybe walking past somebody in the street who has maybe an expensive coat or a bag or something I might like. Or I see someone online having an amazing holiday. Living in an amazing home, and it's a sensation for me. I feel it really in my solar plexus, but you might feel it somewhere else. Notice where in the body you feel this. And if you were to move your body to kind of embody and show physically what that feels like, move into that position, right? So for me, I feel like one of those little sea creatures under the ocean. Suddenly something swims past it and it shoots up into its shell. If I want something, everything becomes very small and tight, and I shoot right up into my body. And then if I think about the idea of then letting that go, allowing my body to come back to maybe how it feels in a really beautiful hot bath, with some essential oils, That feeling of expansion and safety. And then rather than the thing that you want, think about having it. Like, think that it already exists. If it's the job, and maybe it's the weekend, and you're thinking, okay, I'm in the bath, but on Monday I go into that dream job. Maybe I get out of the bath and I go into the arms of my lover. Or I get out the bath and I pack to go on that holiday that I've been looking at. Just see what how that makes your body feel. Right? It brings for me, it makes it feel like it's present and it's with me, and my body feels much more open and my mind feels much more expansive. I feel it really across the top of the heart space. And so, right now, the area of your life or areas, but maybe just choose one if there's a few things you're working on, really feel into the vibration of having it already. And giving thanks for that. My word would be God, but maybe you say source or the universe or your higher self. Like, thank you for this. Thank you for this gift. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for acknowledging that vibration. And then when you're ready, opening your eyes and coming back into the space. Now, that's a simple shift, right? And it's something that I'm not the only person who speaks about this. Many people do. But the thing about our mind is our mind operates from fear. It operates from limitation, and then those programs, all those things that I learned when I was growing up, that I made deeper and deeper, like in my neural pathways, so that ever I saw somebody who had something that I thought looked expensive, I went into that contracted feeling. And one of the things that has really helped me was the belief, like I have a mantra that I use when I find myself going into lack, which is my income is always increasing. So if I feel myself going, oh, I like her bag, and it's coming from a contracted place, say my income is always increasing. Like, I can buy that bag if I want, but actually it takes any energy out of it. It's like, I'm not really into handbags, like, let it go. But where is the fear? What is the seed of the fear? The seed of all fear when we want things is that there is a lack of it. There is not a lack of money on this planet. There is an infinite amount. It's an energy. There is not a lack of love on this planet. There is an infinite amount. It's an energy. Any time that we feel we don't have what it is that we are after, we have allowed our mind and our limitation and our lack thought process to grab the steering wheel of our beingness. And it's not true. It's just one radio station that is always playing bad news, right? Whether it's making yourself wrong for something, not having enough, not being lovable, not being likable, all these core wounds that play on a loop around us. And so it's, how did I switch from scarcity to abundance? It's like it's the same stick, but one end of it is negative and looking at how much I don't have. And how much I want other things, but wanting is an energy of pushing stuff away. It's contracting away from it. It's saying, love me, but it's not saying, love me, and opening your arms out. So it's whole learning to teach yourself to hold the other stick. And you can do that through changing your thoughts and consciously making yourself say, okay, I have all the time in the world, or God has got my man or my woman. Like, I trust that I'm not meant to leave this planet alone. I trust that there is love available for me, or look at them always in love, right? It's the same. You're looking at the same thing. You're just telling yourself a different story about it. You can also move, if the other way is moving into the body and going, oh, look, I'm tense. And so doing some movement or breath, or maybe visualizing the energy in your body move, seeping out into that bath. And allowing yourself to move into a space of receptivity to open to what you want. And the third point is the frequency of it. So if everything is vibrating, you want to be matching the vibration of what it is that you want in life so that it can come into your field. So if I really want a husband and yet I'm walking down the road rolling my eyes at everybody else who's kissing or holding hands or showing affection, it's really difficult for me to be open and look happy and nice that somebody would want to approach me and start a conversation and see, make friends with me, potentially a romance, if I'm like looking at what I don't have in life. It's the same thing, moment after moment, day after day, with whatever it is that you're wanting to attract, you're wanting to happen in your life. It's the same thing with self-belief. If you're telling yourself you can't do something, you could equally put as much energy in telling you to yourself that you can do something. So that's the basis of getting gratitude for what you have, getting open and willing to receive. Because once you realize what you have, you can realize what you can let in. The second part. Just give me a thumbs up or a yes or a one in the chat if that makes sense to you. If you can see how that can work. Yeah, great. And the second thing is to give what it is you want. So if I want more love, I need to be more loving. If I want more money, I need to be less tight, right? I need to be more generous in my it can be, it doesn't have to just be with finances, right? It can be with your time, with your energy. But when you're feeling particularly broke, if you turn around and offer to buy somebody else a coffee, or if you're always rushing and you tell yourself to slow down, things that seem counterintuitive to what it is that you're doing on an energetic level, if everything is vibration, right? If this is really a, like I'm going into some quantum physics here, but if everything is in response to us, if you put static in your system, if you pattern disrupt how you usually operate, the universe responds differently to you. So if you're always rushing and you feel like there isn't enough time in the world, make yourself walk slower and see what happens. If you feel like you're always too busy, carve out time for meditation, make yourself do it. Right? If you feel like you're never going to meet anybody, force yourself to have conversations with people. They don't have to be the gender that you find attractive if that feels scary. It's just about starting to build connection with anybody. Okay, so I'm gonna now, those are some tools that you can start implementing in your day, but I want to go into some specifics. So if anybody would like a hot seat with their specific issue that we can brainstorm and get under the bonnet with, put your name in the chat and we can work, we can workshop it. So, Alan, I can see you've got a question there about your gifts. I also can see Florencia, you've got a question there about scarcity and abundance. And Becca, I can see you've got a question about a court case or a trial. If any of you would like to go into more detail with this, I'm really open to exploring that, or I can talk about it from here without having a deeper understanding. It's only set to record me if you're concerned about sharing. You can unmute or you can put your questions in the chat and I'll speak to them.
I have
Okay.
one.
Hey.
Is that okay if I speak right now or okay?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so I was raised with certain values from my uncle. I am an orphan since I was 2 years old. So the stories that I'm hearing from when I was little, well, money doesn't grow on trees. You have to work hard to gain something, and it's not easy to be successful. You have to work really, really, really hard, and so forth. So I've been implementing this for so long until I'm not even sure, but not too long ago, I got basically a wake up call. So basically my life, I always save, 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 and save. And then out of the blue, I got scammed by a Ponzi scheme of financial investment. And I was like, boom, it's turn my life upside down. And my question to you, there must be something wrong here, right? That doesn't work. And I know that I live in scarcity mindset and I have to change that. I started already, but of course it's not easy. It's not like turning your palm in 1 second, then you can be, in this abundance mindset, right? So, please, I need really, guidance. Sorry, I'm a bit emotional. I started to cry now. Say whatever you need to say and just say whatever you see right now.
Okay, so first of all,
Thank you.
I thank you. Thank you for your honesty. And I hear what you're saying about growing up without parents and the influence of your uncle. And I imagine that was a really strong journey for you. So I sort of say I hear that. There is a really strong, like, thought form, I would call it, on this planet about needing to work hard in order to earn money. And it comes from, and also it's often linked with being poor or honest, and there being a virtue in not having a lot of money, and that people who do are maybe deceitful or corrupt or greedy. And it comes from back in our ancestors who were working the land or working in factories, and then there was the person who owned and made all the profit. And yet that model doesn't, like, yes, there's examples of it with, companies having tax avoidance or, a sweatshop, sweat labor, all of that exists. But the internet has completely changed the game with our ability to make money and our ability to educate ourselves and our ability to reach people and our ability to market and our ability to tell our story. And it's not about necessarily having an online business, but being able to not just make, not just sell, because everything in a way is selling with the people in who we can walk to, or we have enough time. Your website or web page or advert can be online, reaching the entire planet 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. Like, that wasn't possible before. So the mindset of only hard work, it's like, I don't believe that's true, and I know that not to be true. Like, I have a very strong work ethic. I've had a job since I was 14. I then became self-employed when I was 20, and always have been now. So I like doing my own thing. I don't like following rules that I don't believe in. But the way that we can earn money, even if you have a corporate job or a very structured on a salary, with a small amount of, like, there is effort and hard work, but we don't have to be a slave. Like, the implementation phase or the building phase, in order that you can then have passive income or you choose your hours. I worked hard last year. I made, I 5x my annual income in a year, but I also had months off when I was working 10 minutes a day in September. I climbed Kilimanjaro and went on a safari and swam with dolphins in Zanzibar. And I set up a team of people who could support what I'd set up. And I did 10 minutes a day, if that, doing voice notes to answer any questions. And the rest, I was really enjoying myself. I've had 6 years in a row before where I've never taken, let alone a, like, I may have taken a weekend off, but I never took a holiday in 6 years consecutively, right? That was like my fear around there not being enough money. And so it is totally like, if I can change, it's totally possible. But it's about understanding. For me, primarily, I was raised as an atheist. I had no faith. I had no faith in the world because I'd had a lot of really terrible experiences growing up. I had no faith in other people, and I had no faith in a highest power or a creator or source, and I wasn't spiritual. I rolled my eyes at all of that. So I just felt like I had to do everything in my own strength. So if I wasn't working my knuckles to the bone, nothing was going to happen. So there are two things. One, we have the internet, which means there's a whole load of other things much, that are much more simple. And two, there is the power of, I would say, prayer, intention, but also understanding that, like, the absolute miracle that life is. Like, if you think about just the way that we're created, like the millions of sperm, one egg, the odds of you being here, the odds of you surviving in this kind of crazy world that we live in right now, despite all the odds, like, there is something else. There is an energy, there is a field, there is, like, it's, we don't have enough time to go and be exact, like, everybody's understanding of what that is. But if I was to say the word God, I'm not talking about that from a specific religion, but the understanding that the consciousness has created the fact that this existence is even happening is not an absentee landlord, is involved. Like, I always have to keep reminding myself I am not on my own. Somebody's mentioned having guides, like, whether you think of it as guides, ancestors, your imagination, your higher self, like your deepest wisdom, like those parts of us that you can access under extreme pressure. But also under extreme love, like acts of generosity. And if any of you have children, like parts of you that get activated when they come into your life, or when you have your heart blown open by somebody you meet, or by extreme illness or extreme crisis, where you have to go deeper with who you are and the soul you have. Like, our souls are extraordinary. We're living in 1% of our capability, if that. We're seeing with the physical eyes, this is how we turn something what is possible, but we're only seeing 3% of what's going on around us. Like, with the cats or dogs that suddenly dart out the room, like, they are operating with a much broader frequency that their senses can pick up. And with training, we can do that too. It's not necessary to live a really expansive life and break through all your limitations to kind of turn on all your clairsentiences, because it's not great for everybody. It can be quite challenging if that happens. But that this understanding that even though I wake up and there's no food in the fridge and I'm in the red in my bank account, doesn't mean that this is going to be what it's going to be like tomorrow. This doesn't mean that's what it's going to be like next month. But often, if we have got a looping pattern in our life that is no longer serving us, we are taken to quite kind of like knock you around the head, Helen, places before we make a change. Because we need to galvanize. Sometimes it's desperation, sometimes it's restlessness, sometimes it's strength or sadness or focus breaks us out of our own crappy mindset that is going, this is as good as it gets, this is all I'm worth, this is all there is. And I've manifested a lot of really challenging situations. I ask myself out of them. But we have this to do with whether you work out if something is working in your favor or against you. Now, I've also been scammed. I know it's crap. But if everything is working in your favor, even if we don't understand it at the time, that really challenging experience of losing your money to this Ponzi scheme. If that's working in your favor, if that is what allows you to realize, actually, if your money can go that quickly, it can come that quickly. If Something is true, the opposite and equal has to be true. And money as an energy likes to move fast, right? It doesn't like to be held onto and like eked out and held. It likes to be feel free so that it can move in quickly, it can move out quickly. And the more that you get comfortable with that, it's like the more we get comfortable with expressing love, the more people like want to show love to us. The more you become open-hearted and warm, the more people who are open and hearted and warm to you. So thinking about the specifics of what you said about losing money in this sense that you have to work very hard, it's not that your uncle was lying to you, but from his perspective, he's saying that to you to keep you safe, right? Work hard and then you'll never be broke. But you can work, like we can look at people who do work really hard. Who, I used to work 80 hours a week and I was always broke because everything was held so tight. Because I wasn't allowing myself the space to receive, I wasn't allowing myself the space to let go and enjoy spending. I resented money, I was furious with money. I didn't like the money I had because I didn't have enough of it. I didn't like the money anybody else had, so too much of it, and why didn't I have it? So I was in this hateful relationship at all points. So no wonder it wasn't coming to me, right? And even when a few crazy things happened, like I was in the victim of a really like serious attack, and the government have this scheme which I didn't know about, which means that basically I got a check in the post. It took a long time to get, but I suddenly got this huge amount of money for me, which was about 15 years ago. She got a check for £7,000, and like. That was like I was normally earning £800 in a month, right? And like scrabbling to make it like eke out. But what did I do? Scared by this thing, in an account and just left it there, spending it and celebrate. Like I was just so petrified by money. And so it's kind of like, and so what it like, money's there to be enjoyed. So if fun's gone, if you were to pay, if you knew that this time next year you were going to five times, like in the next 12 months, five times your income, the perspective that you would have on the money that you've lost, I'm sure would be more loose and expansive than it is maybe now, and the pain and the contraction you feel around it. Is that fair, Clarencia?
Yeah, that's totally makes sense. Yeah, if I knew that sometime next year I will make like five times, oh my goodness, I will feel like so woo! That will be fantastic.
Right. So this feeling and that shift in your energy. If you can go through your days, like keep coming back to this. Like this might be my reality now. Like maybe I'm eating the discount food and I'm wearing the charity shop clothes and like that's not that I've got nothing against wearing fit thrift clothes, like sustainability is a thing, but like if you're like aspiring to have more. So it's like, okay, right now you've got this, but I'm in the frequency of five times more is coming. And it's going, okay, I lost that money. That money went so fast. So if I would say, like, God, like I would pray, like, God, if that money can go that fast and I wear that hard for it, like, I'm really curious, God, like, show me how things can happen fast. Like, let me play that game. Let me see how money can come to me quickly.
How do I maintain that frequency? Because sometimes, excuse my French, shit happened, right? And then out of the blue, for example, it happened actually not too long ago. Somebody were got angry at me without any reason and just throw all the words that I never heard in my life, like the swearing, blah 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 blah. Oh my goodness, that was terrible. And how do I maintain that frequency when that kind of thing, or maybe more terrible thing happened?
So it's practice.
I see.
I'm going to just say you've said that it's difficult to hear me with the microphone. Is everyone struggling to hear me?
Yeah, sometimes it goes away because probably I'm not sure if it's your mic is too close or you put the volume too loud. I'm not sure.
Okay, so I'm going to try it without the mic.
Oh, this is better.
Is better?
Yeah, this
Okay, great.
is this is better.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Downgraded the tech and it works better. So
Yeah.
try less hard, right? Work less hard, work
Yeah.
less hard. So how do you maintain? Yeah, shit happens. And
Yeah.
often stronger you get at this stuff, like life keeps on giving you challenges, right? Because we came here to grow, I believe.
Yeah.
So quite a lot of shit happens in my life. Like sometimes it's just one thing after the other. But it's always an invitation and like a test for me to walk my talk. So it's about one, it's about not taking it personally. It's not going into a new age mindset of, oh, what have I done? Like I am making yourself wrong and gaslighting yourself. Like, oh, I must have been thinking negative thoughts and that's why I've manifested this shit. Like that, I don't believe to be true. But how much we suffer with what happens, and the most importantly, the meaning that we give something, right?
You're right.
You bought a
Yes.
washing machine, the washing machine breaks, like a whole thing, like it was a huge thing. But like I can tell myself I'm stupid for buying the wrong washing machine. I can tell myself like the world's out to get me, like or that, but companies are so corrupt now they don't make anything to last, or like there's so many narratives that I could give that happening. Or I can go, aren't I lucky that I can pick up a phone and get another washing machine? Aren't I lucky that I've got a friend who can help me repair it? Aren't I lucky that X, Y, and Z? Like, it's not about being Pollyanna and not noticing when something is crap, right? Like I'm in a violent relationship or, I've got this diagnosis, but it's also saying, especially with diagnosis, like so much is changeable with our mindset. It's like so often things are happening that we are telling ourselves are terrible. Like I had to walk so far to park my car. They don't have the coffee I want. Like I've put on weight. Like things that we are then using to weigh us way down when actually like there's always a war happening on this planet at some point, right? We're not in a war zone. So being able to, in the same way our mind is pivoted to look for the negative, it's like, I love the way my clothes smell right now. Or thinking about a memory in the past, or thinking about someone you love. Or when I'm struggling and my mind is really in it, I just have to go into prayer. I just have to like get out of the current situation and ask for grace. Like, my mind is doing my head in right now, God. Like, guide me, like, how do I shift this? And is it reading a teaching? Is it listening to something on a YouTube? Is it having a rest? Is it drinking water?
Got you.
If you don't
Yeah.
pray, like putting your hands on your heart, like your body is it has so much intelligence. Like, what do I need right now? Have I had too much caffeine? Have I had too much sugar? Is my blood sugar low? Like, is there stuff I'm doing to my physical technology that is really, because our microbiome massively controls our ability for to be mentally resilient. There's
Totally right. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, that's explained a lot. Yeah, thank you, Helen.
no problem. And I will give you, like, if you want to do it, I give you some homework that was given to me by a therapist back
Yeah, I would
in
love to. That would be
the
great. Yes.
day. Okay. So I invite you to find 10 ridiculous ways that people have become millionaires. And I'll give you an example of one of them, multi-millionaire, right? Because of inflation, let's go up a bit.
Yeah.
This guy found a rock on a beach full of rocks like this, not a special rock. He got paper, cardboard paper boxes that you could then fold up to make a little box that had a plastic window in it. Do you know those boxes? You can get cupcakes in them and stuff. He put the rock in the box and he wrote on the front of the box, "My name is Fred." He then sold it on websites, and it became viral. Right? Everybody wanted to get their mate the worst present for their birthday. Let's get them the Fred Rock birthday present. This guy became a multimillionaire in 1 year by having a really easy website, and essentially him and his mates or some local kids or whoever pulling rocks off the beach and putting them in paper boxes and shipping them to people.
Oh, wow. That's
Right? Like, it doesn't have to be hard work. Like if you want to do, like Alan said, like if you want to do service work and you want to really touch people's lives and move the needle, like that also doesn't have to be really hard. Like
Really?
you absolutely to like have integrity and do your work and be there for them, but it doesn't have to be like brain surgery. Like nothing has to be, we don't, and the more that you think about that feeling of it already being done and being in the bath, or maybe it's lying on a beach, or maybe it's swinging in on a swing with the smell of flowers in the air, like whatever that you can think of that you've done that when your body has felt free and open, like that energy is the space of solutions and it is the space of creativity and it's a space of breakthrough. And it's also the space of being happy in the present moment with what you've got. And more can come in.
Wow, thank you. This is so inspiring. Thank you, thank you. I am so grateful, Helen.
You're
You are
so
fantastic.
welcome.
For sure. I will find these 10 ridiculous ways. And I will email you. I'll write you.
Great, and hang around to the end of the call because I have some things to share. But go and
Yes,
find
of
like five,
course.
10 ways people have made silly amounts of money, right? Filling things full of gunge and filming them on YouTube, like ridiculousness. Okay.
Thank you, thank
Right.
you. Awesome.
You're welcome. Does anyone else have a question?
I do have a question, but I'm not sure everyone else wants to even hear it. And it, you haven't got very much time left this evening with us. It's about when you get deeply triggered. And you're struggling to learn the lesson of the core of that trigger. So it keeps happening in different manifestations, if that's the right word to use, which I am now, I want to say believing, but it is more head. I am thinking that's why I'm in the situation that I'm in. It's nothing to do with the physicality of the medical emergency that ended up me being arrested because someone presumed I was drunk rather than having a really serious medical adverse reaction to a new prescription. However, the long and the short of it is, I was writing some notes while you were talking with the last lady, and the fact that I've been, it feels physically and emotionally transported back to being a victim. Through no fault of my own, no deliberate action, but I'm being persecuted because the persecutors that know that there was a medical issue are deciding to prosecute me and threaten me with imprisonment and no independence, take my car, blah, 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 even though they have all the medical evidence because they were there at the time, independently. A medical expert has also assessed all of their prosecution evidence and confirmed, no, I was not well, and that shouldn't have been the process I was put through. But I'm still being tortured and threatened with a trial where I'm meant to justify the fact that I didn't do anything wrong. And the bit that's triggering me is the interpretation of the situation that I have to justify I wasn't doing anything wrong. And with a history of abuse, it's kind of messing with me.
Sounds like a really, really difficult situation, Becca. It sounds really intense. I'm sorry you're going through this. I've also had my run-ins with the courts and injustice system on this country. And so sometimes we can't make sense of things as they're unfolding. And in this time now, I can give you some insights that might be applicable to you, but I couldn't say which one it is right now because we're not working together at that level. But what I would share is the language that I've heard you use, that it's torturing you, that it's attacking you, is really loaded language. And so what I would invite is, like, how can you put a little bit more, say, okay, it's not changing the reality of what's happening, but how can you make it an easier medicine that you have to swallow right now, regardless of what actions you have to take? So how can you neutralize that? So it's like they're not physically attacking you. There's a, like, maybe this is a situation where that you feel the big sense of injustice. And you're not feeling hurt. What I feel like is the core, where the core pain is not feeling heard or seen, which feels like more of a core wound. So maybe, does that feel, did I
Yeah,
answer your
and
question?
it's no, you're through today, and it's coincidental it happened with this session that you offered. I've done some internal work, and I really now believe the issue I need to address. You used the word right at the beginning, abundance. I am eternally grateful for what I have been gifted. And because of my core, I don't want to be a victim. I will always stand up for myself. I will always do the right thing. I will always put in the necessary effort to make the right things happen. All of that is what has been put into a lack of trust, lack of belief, lack of a big dose of isolation and victimization, of which I don't want. I no longer need to identify with a defensive position if I go back to trusting abundance and what I visualize will be granted to me if it's the right thing and doesn't harm another. And it's I've got somehow I want to say discombobulated and thrown off course, because your first question I no, the first thing you addressed this evening was individuals wanting to not feel the pressure of wanting more money or to change their financial circumstances. And I couldn't wave and I couldn't raise my hand because personally, I don't have that belief. I believe what I need will be given to me without me having to force it into a bank account. I have no income. but I do skills exchange with other people. A, because, yeah, I make no bones about it. It can't be taxed. It can't be tracked. It doesn't mean money is changing hands. It means needs and requirements are met. But obviously, I'm struggling with the fact I'm being forced into a manifestation environment that I would like to be generous and say is only corrupt to the core, but that kind of says it all. And so it's triggered my trust, my faith and belief issues that my, for want of a better word, my guardian angels really will look after me, because I don't know how I reconnect with the belief of abundance, trust, and yeah, I think you get what I'm trying to say. I struggle to put it into words.
Where I think what I'm hearing is that you're financially, you look at things through energy exchange rather than needing to bring money into the equation.
Yes.
You feel protected and in flow with that way of working. And yet in this situation, which feels unjust and feels very much within the kind of the pyramid structures that we have in society, that there is an injustice and you're struggling to have the same level of faith.
Yes.
That there's going to be a flow and a way through this.
Yes.
So we all, the way that I personally, in those situations, is where I find myself really going into my fight, is to really understand the part of myself. And there's a healing modality or a therapeutic modality called IFS, called internal family systems. And I find this really helpful in many situations to have to get some clarity with myself. So I'll give a small example. Essentially, IFS is the understanding that if you can visualize a yellow American school bus, the driver of this school bus is the part of ourselves that is wise, kind, compassionate, intelligent, rational, creative, flow, giving, like all the things that we know we can be, but we want to be all the time. And then everybody's school bus has a different amount of seats on it. Some of us have 5 seats, some of us have 15 seats. It doesn't matter, but these are different aspects of us. So there might be the incredibly erotic seducer, our sexual self. There might be the people pleaser. There might be the wounded child. There might be the anarchist, right? And I had a situation where I bought a car, my first car that I bought by myself, in my late 30s, it's the first time I got a car, and it blew up within the first 30 days. So I was legally entitled to get all my money back, but I was completely gaslit by the company. I got it towed and left at the garage. They refused to give me my money back and they had the car. And it went, got lawyers involved. I went through a lot more money trying to get it all sorted. It was a nightmare of a situation. And what I did was I went into an IFS state. So I went back to understand what part of me is perpetuating this lack of justice. And this might be really different for you, but I found this helpful for me. And it was the part of me that wanted to fight. I have this big, let me support the underdog. Let me take the corruption down. Come on. I lived in bother boots. I had a skinhead for a while. I used to wear all black. I find anger easy to access, right? Much less these days, but it was what kept me alive for a long time, is this jet fuel of anger. And so it was this part of me, which is sort of around the age of 14, that's like, come on then, yeah, I'll take you down. And it was interacting with this guy and a part of him that, part of him, he chatted me up when I bought the car and I'd said no. It was done in a very sleazy manner. I was just letting him think about it. I was just like, I just want to buy the car, go away. right? But that had really angered him. So he was trying to teach me a lesson. I don't think any of this was conscious, but the energy of it was that.
Right.
So the energy of me at 14-year-old going, I wear what I want, doesn't mean you can do anything to me. Like, that was what was playing on underneath this, like, two adults flying over a car.
That makes so much, just the little bit you've said there makes so much sense because of the abusive marriage background for 22 years and the finally fighting my way out of that for another 4 years and now being gifted independence thanks to my dear mum's suicide. Yes, it's that defensive fighter of injustice because I'm not having this done to me again when I know I didn't do anything wrong. And it's just, and I want to fight, or the bit in me is saying I need to fight for all those other insulin diabetics that are being mistreated and abused this way by a system that is just trying to cash in on the vulnerability. So if I park that acknowledgement to one side, what can you suggest I do to quieten that noise that is actually contaminating everything? Because it's not my fight, it's just a situation. I know it's not going to kill me, but I am absolutely resisting it. And I'm
all of that energy and in a, like, that's what will cause you harm rather than the situation.
Yeah.
And I just also want to acknowledge what you just shared about your mum. So
that's okay. Yeah, thanks to the ex-husband, but it's all tied up. It's a big mess. But it's not my personal mess. It's just a set of sequences that happened when I was already trying to fight for freedom. Oh, God, I think I actually put that as my thing. What I want is to be free. So obviously, you've helped me right now uncover the common thread that does go back to internal family systems, which is incredibly helpful because my heart and soul says if you find the cause and the initiator of the problem, only then can you actually start to remedy it. If you don't know what's making you ill, you're going to cover it up with other things. Yeah, which is no good. I'm not one of those. I don't want to do that anymore.
I don't want to leave it too much on this place because I want to bring this to a close because of everybody's time.
Yes, of course.
What I will say, Becca, is I think what you've just said is I'm glad that was helpful. So for me, in those situations, I realise that internal family systems, if it's a part of me that I can work with, would be to journal or to go into a visualisation with that part. Like, what do they need to feel safe? Because we only act up, we only jump out the back of the yellow bus and grab the steering wheel of our life when we don't feel safe. We're not trusting what we're doing.
So we're in fear.
It's about being seen or it's about being heard. Like, well, what do you need to feel safe to trust me to deal with this, like these different parts of us? And then I would suggest that it's about being, how do you accept the situation you're in? It's like, I didn't back down. I ended up going to that guy's office, having done, got rid of all my fight. And I sat there and I just said, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving till you give me my money back. Where the lawyers had failed, I just sat there and I didn't get triggered. I was in there for an hour and a half, but I left with my money in my bank account. And he just kept on playing all these little games. And there was just no energy in me to be triggered by him. So he wore himself out. And I feel like it might be the same, similar situation with this. It's like, if you keep staying in your center, if you keep staying grounded, if you keep speaking your truth to power, right? Like, then there's, like, which is a mission that lots of people are manifesting right now because we're in a time of dismantling these power structures. So if you keep coming down and keep coming to prayer and keep coming to, like, I'm not doing this on my own. You mentioned your guides, like, support me, show me the way, like, and keep on doing your inner work of neutralizing that fight aspect in you. And where does that need to feel safe? Like, you're not in the marriage right now, like, allowing yourself to feel that the safety of that, like, I feel that might be helpful.
Thank you. Much appreciated.
Yeah, thanks, Becca. Thank you for sharing. Okay. So this was just, as you can see, like we all have a lot going on. And if you're watching the replay, this is a taster of where we have a vision. And these were some examples of where we can be stumbling, holding ourselves back, looping, not moving forward. Timing is everything. Sometimes it's about taking action and then resting and not and trusting that the divine timing. It's like, don't get freaked out when the leaves start falling in your life, because then maybe realize it's autumn. You know, maybe you're trying to harvest when it's February. Like, it's not that you've done something wrong. It's like there is a divine timing in things in our life. But also it's about keeping the faith, in the same way that it's just not trusting what you can see right now is dictating what is going to happen for the rest of your life or the rest of your days. Like where I started, things can change in a moment. And it's putting yourself in environments and situations that cultivate that ability for you to keep on living in that space and that frequency, being conscious of what information you digest. You watching the news that keeps on telling you about everything's going off the cliff, like that money is limited, that you know the cost of living crisis, etc., etc., etc. Like, or are you surrounding yourself with people who are doing work, who are having breakthroughs, who are inspiring yourself? And if you're not around a lot of those, limit the people who make you feel worse about your life, and listen to a lot of things online that help you stay in that mindset and that frequency, especially first thing in the morning and last thing before night. Because that's when we're most impressionable in our brain. So I thank you all. Thank you all for being part of this. What I'm offering is some phone calls with me. I have cleared some space in my diary next week. I offer these sessions. Yes, okay, of course we can explore what it would be like to work with me. I have group programs and one-to-one work available. But also whether we feel like it's a good fit or not, because I don't work with everybody, I don't work with people I don't think I can help, or we're not the right vibe, right? For either way, it's a way of us both figuring that out. These calls can give you clarity and insight, and some support. So my service, as Alan said, like I'm on a mission to wanting to help people. It's not, you know, I'd like to impart some help within those conversations, even if we don't take it any further. So you can book, you'll get a replay, an email with a replay with this either tonight or tomorrow. And you will get a link to my diary. If you want to do that right now, you can head to hearthealer.co.uk. Under work with me, it says book a call. You can book there, you'll get my diary. You can put a slot in, and we can explore how I could support you further if that feels like a good fit, or to understand a bit more about what you're going on. The second option, or yes and option, especially if it's about, as Alan said, and some other people, about business and starting your business and getting well paid for doing what you love. I have a course which I poured my absolute everything into. It's exactly like what I have done step by step to get to where I am, and how I pivoted in just a few years to leave all my other forms of income, you know, be earning multiple six figures every year, and just bought my own flat overlooking the beach, etc. So it's like I spent years renting a living room looking at a brick wall, and now I look at the horizon. Like, so it's doable. It's really doable, without breaking your back or impacting your health. So that course is called Prosperous Heart. I'm offering 60% off as a thank you for being here. The code is freedom. So you can go on my website, look at Prosperous Heart. It's a series of videos with workbooks, and it covers both the practical aspects of how to set up a business and how to be self-employed or start to generate income, and what you need to know about spreadsheets or taxes. And, you know, I'm neurodiverse and a creative, so I haven't got a science maths business degree. This is all things that I've learned, and invested very heavily myself in support I've got, and I'm sharing that all in the course. But it's also about mindset, it's also about energy, it's also about frequency, it's also about understanding how to not, you know, not kind of like get out of the grind and then create your own grind, right? And that's called the prosperous heart, where your emotional intelligence and creativity meet your financial intelligence and prosperity. So that's the marry of that. And it takes you through the four chambers of the heart and these four different areas of how to create that as your life. Right. So I also have a retreat going on in September if anybody's in the UK and would like to come to Cornwall. So.
Yes, please.
Great.
Yes, please. I love Cornwall. I grew up there.
Mm. Right. So it's called Your Courageous Heart. It's all about courage and how to break through. And I'm co-running that with a beautiful sister called Imogen. And so those are all available on the website, and they will be in an email with the replay of this. Thank you so much for being here. What I would love is you to put into the chat something that you were taking away, whether that be an insight or an action you're going to take going forward.
Okay. All right.
Maybe a small thing and a big thing. So taking away the abundance mindset and we're lining up your frequency with what you want to bring into life. Like music is a really quick shift, I find, for shifting my mood. So is movement, changing your state, whether that be through breath work or running around the block or doing 10 star jumps or putting your body into hot then cold water with the shower. If your ice baths aren't your thing, you only need to be in cold for 30 seconds before you make it hot. And then you make it cold again. And I do squats in the cold bit to to get through it and distract myself. That's my hack. Yeah, that fighting, I'm just going to share that, Philip, because I think that's a really potent one, especially now on the planet when we're in this time where all the corruption that's been kind of under the carpet is coming up and it can look like it's getting worse, but I think it's because the frequency consciousness is expanding, the frequency on the planet is changing, and so what was buried can't stay buried anymore, so it's coming up. But it can be really disarming and alarming when we see it, and then we want to go towards to fix it. But and I spent decades doing fixing the world, saving the world, not saving myself. So it's coming down to, like, especially if you feel very disempowered, like when I look at what's going on in, you know, parts of the world, war zones, Palestine, etc. It's like, what can I do? It's like, right, where am I being an ass to people? Where am I being short to someone on the phone? You know, like I'm doing flat pack furniture, I'm phoning them up. How can I do that with grace? How can I bring more humanity into how I interact with people? How can I go deeper in love? How can I show more? How can I give more? And then sometimes, you know, it's also, how can I write letters of support? How can I donate money? But starting with what is going on inside me? Where am I at war with myself? Where am I creating micro wars? And where can I lean into trust? Right? Okay, we've gone slightly over, but I hope this was valuable. The email will be coming through. Thank you for everyone who shared and spoken. I will be holding you in my prayers tonight, and I'm wishing you all a beautiful, Beautiful weekend and future, and really happy to connect if you want to put a call in for next week. Okay. Thanks very much, everybody. Bye bye bye.